Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of No Footprints on Riot Radio. And today I have a special guest with me. Her name is Maria, and she's here with me from Bogota, Colombia. Thanks for coming on today with us.
Thanks for inviting me again, Lauren. I'm really excited for today's episode.
So today we're really excited to talk about accessibility and how that relates to climate change and the climate crisis. So first of all, Maria, would you like to define kind of what we're talking about when we say accessibility?
For sure. I think accessibility is like a really wide topic who can just refer to a lot of scales in between, like in societal context, in an economical context. I'd say more from my perspective is being able to, in regard to the climate movement, to actually being able to voice your concerns regarding that movement without being fearful of being punished or anything. And in general, just being able to be educated about it and, well, comply with all the things that the climate movement comes from, whether it be sustainability, if you want to lead a vegan life, if you want to attend to protests, if you want to educate yourself more. I would think that's the main thing about accessibility, being able to just kind of see things and receive them in a certain way.
Yeah, for sure. And I saw something somewhere, for example, that I think it was Brazil, or there was a certain country in South America that's actually very like dangerous for climate activists. And I feel like sometimes in here where I am from Canada, we take for granted the fact that we can speak up and be activists without fearing for our lives, because a lot of activists actually lose their lives and they're done away with. So it can be very dangerous in certain countries to talk about that.
Exactly, for sure. Actually, the country you read about is Colombia. Mm-hmm. In 2019, I think, if I'm not wrong, there was this census that was made, and Colombia was deemed as the most dangerous country for climate activists. Yeah. Of course, I haven't experienced that violence because my work as a climate activist has been more of like spreading news, writing articles about different things that have been happening regarding to the climate crisis. But there's really vulnerable people here in my country, especially because we have such a huge gap in between like places, and there's really secluded places where you don't really have any protection, where even the police or the state doesn't even come from. And we have this whole other conflict that's been going on for a lot of times with guerrillas and stuff. That's really been affecting in a different way that other countries really haven't. I think that's something as Latin America that has really affected us. Mm-hmm. And that's what you were talking about. Sometimes we take for granted, even for me, because I'm one of the few privileged people among the unprivileged that are here in my country, mm-hmm. that actually risk their life. I think the percentage of activists that were killed in 2019 was something along 20%, which seems really small, but it's actually really big compared to like other countries where the casualties are really low to none because of activism.
That's insane. Like that's scary. Yeah, honestly. Would you mind sharing how accessibility is seen where you're from, or even how the climate crisis is perceived?
I think while we as a society regarding like Latin America and especially Colombian society, we really look for economical stability because of how shaken up our countries can be and how harsh we've been in terms of economical state. We've had a fair share of crises. And I think with that economical privilege, economical stability, however you want to call it, comes the accessibility. Because in any other way, you wouldn't be able to go to school, buy the vegan things you need to sustain your diet, even just have simple things that we take for granted sometimes, as if like food, internet, even a roof over our heads. It's a really great inequality problem here. It's really, and it's really noticeable specifically here in Colombia.
Right. So did you attend a public or private school, and did you receive any education about the climate change as a student?
I'm actually currently attending a private school. I've been attending it all my life, precisely because I've been lucky enough to have parents who have been more or less economically stable, financially stable. I think that's the word. And well, since private schools, there's like a really huge gap too between here, like between private and public schools. And fortunately enough, my school has really been enforcing in the curriculum like all the climate change aspect and stuff. We even have an environmental committee, I think that's called, and some events and stuff. But I'm really conscious that's not the like the reality for other people. But my school has enforced it, fortunately.
Okay. Yeah. So, with that being the case, do you feel like the public is aware or mostly aware of the climate crisis, or have that kind of education, even if it's not from their school? And is that a concern for a lot of the public?
I think it's 50-50, but I do know that each climate change and climate crisis education has increased a lot in the last couple decades, like since the 1990s. And if you don't learn it at school, it means you're directly affected by it. It's something I really say because, as I mentioned at the beginning, there's a lot of secluded communities which live in horrible conditions and are just for absolutely forgotten by the government. And they have to learn either way because what's affecting them correlates to that. And well, there's also organizations here that have made the effort to actually reach those communities and teach them and well, help them however they want. But I think it's taken more traction lately because of how like young activists are connected and we've been able to keep in touch with people that are outside like of the main cities, to call it like that.
Yeah. My next question would be, oh, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, yes, I was going
It's
to ask,
fine.
here where I'm from, I've noticed personally, and I'm sure a lot of other people have, is that the climate crisis seems like this vague topic. I mean, it is kind of vague. It's very broad and it applies to a lot of things, and it's not something you can exactly pinpoint all the time. If there's a massive wildfire, yes, we can say that was caused by climate change. But it's very hard to, say that at the same time, if you understand where I'm coming from. So I feel like a lot of people here feel like it's very vague because they haven't really been personally affected by very extreme events. We're not a sinking island. We don't have very extreme weather events. I happen to be in a very lucky place where we don't really have a lot of terrible weather events or anything that has really affected me. I'm starting to notice a lot more in the closed area as we see more wildfires and tornadoes and more extreme and warm weather, or even really cold weather. But do you feel like in Colombia it is similar, or have you noticed in Colombia that there are very harsh weather conditions that are getting worse, or that has affected you personally? And how aware do you think people are of the fact that this is climate change?
I think it really depends on the area you're in because since we're such a diverse country, like biodiversity wise, we experience a lot of different phenomena. We have islands that are part of our like country that are nearby that they were actually in a crisis a couple months ago because of huge hurricanes. And I think where there's always, for example, my city in personally is really like weather tempered. We don't really have seasons, but there's been a lot of rain seasons who have affected a lot of streets and a lot of like houses in the suburbs that aren't actually prepared to sustain this heavy rainfall. Of course, we always know that there's a lot of rain in certain seasons, but it's become worse through the like through time. I even remember some of my friends who live like on the other parts of Bogota that having sometimes they couldn't even reach to like our school because their houses were just flooded and we're like middle class people who aren't actually struggling with that. And well, in other communities that like are more isolated, as I mentioned, they have it way worse because they depend on, you know, this, for example, these rivers, they depend on their forests and they get flooded. So they don't, they end up having nothing. So I think there's a little bit of both sides. Of course, some have been more affected than us, but it's made us realize, well, at least the activists we have and the general public, that this is an issue that it's going to hit us worse, because as I mentioned, we are still like the developing countries, although I don't really believe in that term much, but we're still really behind in compared to infrastructure, economy and stuff to other countries. So it's of course going to hit us the harder, as we have, like, as we also have this gap between like classes. I don't wanna say it like that because I think that's a really crude term and I don't really like it, but there's a huge inequality gap and there's really, really unprotected and vulnerable people that are struggling more than I am. But I think it's definitely hitting us all like a lot harder than it's hitting like, I don't know, Spain or France, or like more stable countries, if I may call it like that.
So that being said, do you feel like these topics are often very English or United States centered? And can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I think they are. I think we've advanced in that. But even a page like Latinas for Climate needs to be translated to English. So we they reach a wider public. I'm not part of that initiative, but I'm just doing some promo here because along with Fridays for Future, I think they are an organization that has made a lot of strides regarding the climate movement and how to make it more accessible here in Latin America. But I still think we're missing a lot of exposure, if I may call it like that, because we have some great scientists. We're being more affected than other countries, but yet we aren't really getting that attention we need, if I may call it like that, because of course we're a really forgotten area of the world. Like a lot of people just recognize like Mexico, and that's where they stop, because that's how the world sees us, and that's something that has come from other decades that we're still fighting to break into it. But it's really hard to break into the panorama of like activism, because of what I said in the beginning, it's really English-centered. A lot of the information you find are in English, and a lot of people here in Latin America don't have the privilege of being bilingual. And in general, a lot of the studies conducted have been made on having like research and stuff on the US or in Canada, on countries that have totally different conditions to us. So yeah, that was.
So how would you suggest, do you have any ideas how we can better include people in our conversations on climate change to make sure more people's voices are heard?
I'd say, let's not wait for them to come to us. I include myself because I've been privileged enough to be able to look for the spaces myself, but there are people who don't even have internet, but can have great ideas regarding. So I'd say it's on us to go a little bit further, like, into those isolated places to look for the people who are being affected, not only for giving them a voice, because that's really, really important. I feel like we need more diversity, even in the Latino climate activism panorama, but we need them to be able not only to voice their concerns, but also be protected and be guaranteed like their safety regarding not only violence they face as activists, but also against all these disasters that are affecting their opportunities, like education-wise, job-wise. These people are just focused on survival, which shouldn't be that way. And I think that's also taking away their spot as the activists or the voices they could be for the movement.
Exactly. And climate change is not often something those people have the time to focus their energy on. The people who have time to focus on it are often already have their basic needs taken care of, and other people are really just trying to survive, put food on the table.
Exactly.
So my last question for you tonight is, how can we solve the climate crisis? How can we make it more accessible on an international level with developing countries and developed countries? Because developing countries are going to be the most affected, but the least capable of protecting themselves from that. So how can we work together to make solutions for this?
I think a great starter step would be to actually include them in this conversation rather than just speak on behalf of them. Not only include, I don't know, a representative or the president, but try to work shoulder by shoulder. I think that's the expression, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, with scientists from the countries, with activists from their own countries, to just not like being content with finding that one activist that you see everywhere from Colombia, but looking a little bit farther, more beyond what the famous activist may look like, or if this gets more exposure, but rather just really start looking and making an actual effort to include scientists, experts on the topic, activists, people who are vulnerable, give them an opportunity to not only express their concerns, to also grow alongside the movement. Because as you said, they're in general, Latin Americans, the vast majority, because again, as I've mentioned before, I'm the part of the privileged bunch who can actually sit down to do all this research and worry about this stuff while the others are trying to put food on the table. Give them the actual opportunities to sustain themselves so they can be able to worry about the climate crisis and have an actual opinion and be included, like have the chance and abilities to be included in these conversations. I think that will be one main, like the first maximum step. And support can come in many ways, from like, especially economically, I sound really interested, but it's something that most people really need here. And that it may sound really, really superficial, but it's something that is really needed here by the majority of the population who sometimes can't even afford a place to live and live in terrible conditions. So I'd say that take strides to like include and also aid and help as much as you can.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, I definitely, that's really good pointers. But thank you so much for coming on with me tonight. It was really great to have your input, and I appreciate that you're able to be here with me today.
Thanks again for inviting me, Lauren. I really enjoy these kind of spaces, which I'm able to voice, even if I haven't had the whole experience, because I'm fortunate enough to, well, have this privileged life in which I can actually sit down to talk about these topics. I hope then that we just really open, we see in the next couple of years, like really soon, we see the activism world open and the climate crisis hopefully mitigated at least.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I agree for sure. Thank you everyone for listening as well. And don't forget that you can follow us on DCSI Riot Radio on social media platforms. And we'll be back next week with another episode.